From the boardroom to the shop floor, good business runs on good governance. Join esteemed expert in governance, Dr. Nimrod Mbele, for the next hour as he takes us beyond governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa.
A very good evening and welcome to Beyond Governance right here at 101.9 High FM. My name is Nimrod Mbele. I'm delighted once again to share this space and time with you as we discuss pertinent issues facing our country. Invariably, we look forward or we look towards leadership and assess that their skills and competencies and, frankly speaking, political will, so that we're able to make a determination on promises made and whether those promises have been kept by politicians. And we know that, you know, navigating economic and political challenges is a very complex environment, and it requires astute leaders who are able to skillfully and diligently navigate turbulences. In my view, any government that partners with social actors such as business, unions, or civil society organizations for that matter is bound to succeed in changing our lives. A major precondition for that, for me, is that partnership must be built on trust and accountability. Sadly, the evidence that is before us is quite disheartening for the two biggest variables that I've cited are not there. Look at shenanigans in local government, shenanigans in SOEs, shenanigans that captured eloquently by the Zondo Commission does suggest issues around accountability is definitely missing and trust. So obviously we need to get to a point where we bridge those particular gaps. Anyway, moving on swiftly, if you miss any of our previous conversation, not to worry, simply go to our website, which is www.highfm.com, and download your podcast and share your views with us. I mean, last week I had a fantastic conversation with Sanile Swana, who is a governance specialist. I think he was brilliant. I mean, he spoke with such clarity. He was focused, and he provided a lot of evidence to justify any of the viewpoints that he put forward. So I urge you, if you missed that particular conversation, I urge you to go back, try and retrieve it, and share your thoughts with us. Meanwhile, before we get into the gist of tonight's core business, allow me to thank Michael McKenna and the drive team, Overdrive team. He has done a sterling job. He'll be back on your radio tomorrow at the same time. Moving along, let me express my sincere gratitude to Craig Guthrie, who's pressing all the right buttons. And last but not least, Betty, who's a thorn amongst the roses, or rose amongst the thorn, who is the producer of the show. Thank you very much for doing a sterling work by compiling sterling guests in the name of, David Root, who is the founder and director of Efficient Group. David and I will share, we'll have a conversation around SONA, particularly from the perspective of economic imperatives. We all know that, SONA, the president has to reflect on economic landscape. As we all know, we're not where we're supposed to be as a country. We're not growing as we should. But look forward to hearing Davi's thoughts on that particular issue. In the second leg of our show, around 22:07, I'll be joined online again by Tembisa Fakuda, who's the head of English unit at Al Jazeera Center for Studies. And Tembisa and I will be talking about political landscape in the continent and globally. We're all aware of what has happened in Rwanda, or we ought to be aware of what is happening in Rwanda, wherein the South African, defense force, were sort of killed, M23, and the Rwandan president making or firing some warning shots against South Africa. So we'll probably hear more of that type of issues with the president. That will be on my second leg of the conversation with Tembisa. Perhaps one of the questions could be, why bother about SONA? I mean, I think it's a very important aspect of our, aspect of democratic agenda, because we, it's opportunity for the president to clearly articulate government plans and state what is it that he had planned and what is that we've been achieved. But sadly, most of the time we hear more and more promises, not so much about how far has the needle moved, particularly in the context of what was planned And I'm hopefully this time around with my conversation, I will get to hear how what has been government challenges and successes. We don't want to hear more and more promises, which has been the case. I urge you to make your contribution. And perhaps maybe one of the questions that we need to ask you as a beloved listener, what is it that you want to see or hear from the president at SONA? And what should be done differently, if there's any? So I welcome your thoughts. Our SMS line is 061-895-10195. And of course, your views and thoughts are most welcome via my X handle, which is _@DrMbele. Without any waste of time, let me take this opportunity to welcome Davi. Davi, good evening and welcome to Beyond Governance.
Thank you so much and good evening to you.
Lovely, lovely, lovely man. we're living in an interesting time, Davi, and we, for the first time in the over the past 30 years, we now have SONA under GNU. And what's your overall view of that kind of setup, which is unprecedented, or perhaps maybe it might have been, we did have, if I'm not mistaken, GNU in early formative years of, but perhaps maybe it might be different. Your take on that?
Yeah, we had initially, just now after 1994, we had a real government of national unity when President Mandela then decided to form a real government of national unity. We invited all political parties to participate. This time around, it is called the government of national unity, but it isn't really. Let's be honest about it. This is a coalition between the ANC and the Democratic Alliance. And the only reason why it's called the government of national unity is just to appease the South African Communist Party and COSATU, because they don't like the DA. So call it the government of national unity, although it's actually a coalition. But it doesn't really matter. Okay, so what is the South Africa? What is the state of South Africa after this government of national unity? And I think certainly there are things that are much, much better than previously. Before the government of national unity, before the elections of last year, the financial markets were quite distressed. The financial markets were under pressure. There was very high levels of uncertainty. And then we had the elections. The ANC lost quite a lot. And the first best thing that happened, and let's give credit where it's due, is that the ANC accepted the results of the elections, which is a good thing, because that means that we are gradually becoming a mature democracy in South Africa. So that was, without a doubt, a very positive thing. And then the government of national unity was formed, and financial markets reacted quite positive to that, and a number of opposition, or then other ministers of other political parties were appointed in various positions, and they're doing quite a good job. It's a new broom kind of thing that is happening. And there are quite a number of examples where the new ministers are doing an excellent job. So financial markets positive, new ministers doing a good job, and that certainly will have a positive impact on the economy. It is spilling over into the real economy. And on top of all of that, we had electricity. Over most of the past year, we've had electricity. Now, here and there, there are signs of an improvement in economic growth, but I'm afraid not nearly enough. And I just want to say there's a storm outside here, so if there's a bit of a thunder outside, my apologies for that. So there are signs of improvement and in the economy, but not nearly enough. We're probably going to see economic growth well below 1% for last year. 2025, if we're very lucky, we're going to see maybe 1.5% economic growth. But that, again, not nearly good enough. In the meantime, we could see the tension within the government of national unity. We know about the Bella Act, the Expropriation Act, the National Health Insurance. The political parties are not seeing eye to eye on that. And on top of all of that, we've got Donald Trump making all sort of threats and making all sort of comments, and the rant comes under pressure. So this is really, really an amazing time to be an economist in South Africa, because you get being bombarded by all sort of developments on a daily basis, and you have to try to make sense of all of this. I think the point is that the South African economy is not in a very good place. We've had a horrible past 10, 15 years. On a per capita basis, we are today poorer than 15 years ago. And the main reason for that has to do with the government with the wrong ideologies, with the wrong policies, a government that is quite often incompetent, and a government that is quite often corrupt. And because of that, in the ANC government mostly, we've seen a deterioration in just about all the various indices and matrix in South Africa, and the result of that has been a per capita deterioration in income and GDP in South Africa. So that's where we are. And now we've got an additional challenge in the form of the orange guy from the United States.
Well, those are very interesting insights that you've shared with us. I mean, to your point, the economy has been very sluggish. We'd be very lucky to grow the economy by 2%, which is still not good enough. Ideally, we need to grow the economy between 4 to 6% to make a meaningful dent, particularly by absorbing graduates that are coming from universities and colleges. But we all know there's a big contestation in the labor market space. The unions, on one hand, are saying they are fighting for living wage and better wages and working condition. On the other hand, capital says, look, the cost of labor is becoming excessively high. And mind you, South Africa compete with other developing countries, from a labor absorption point of view. So labor is, capital is likely to flight to, or investment are likely to take place where labor costs are relatively low. And it doesn't necessarily mean that there's an exploitation. What would, this has been an issue for South Africa for some time. What could be the fine, the balancing act between the two opposing, actor groups, labor on the other hand and business on the other hand. We don't seem to find a workable middle ground that could take the country forward in terms of unemployment.
Well, there are actually three actors here. The third one, of course, is government itself. And government itself is very much in cahoots with organized labor, organized labor in the form of COSALT is part of the tripartite alliance. And like what I said earlier, government, the ideology of government is, let's call it socialist, left-leaning, developmental, call it whatever you want to call it. And that is usually not seen as very business-friendly. In the meantime, you're absolutely correct. We've got exceptionally high levels of unemployment and poverty. I completely understand organized labor wishes of trying to improve the living conditions of their workers. They, of course, but remember, organized labor in South Africa, they represent employed people, not unemployed people. And in the meantime, we've got something like 10 million unemployed people in South Africa. Capital, as you commented, capital is a coward. Capital runs away. And there are many other places where capital can be allocated in the rest of the world where it gets a very nice return. And so we have to create an environment that is friendly to capital. But at the same time, we want a living wage for everybody. And to make things even worse is that we have very weak skills development in South Africa. We don't have very strong human capital in South Africa. We don't have people that are trained to participate in a modern economy. So that is really a dilemma at various fronts that we are facing. In order to fix this, I think what we need to do is, quite ironically, what I think we should have as an objective or as an aim is not job creation. Job creation should never be part of the equation. The primary focus of everybody in South Africa must be one thing and one thing only, and that is to create wealth, to grow the economy. We shouldn't be concerned about job creation. We shouldn't even be concerned about inequality. We shouldn't be concerned about anything, but only one thing should dominate everything that we do, and that is wealth creation, economic growth. Of course, we are South Africans. We cannot allow our fellow South Africans to die of hunger. So we should have some sort of social safety net, and we have that, in fact. But really, we are so deep in trouble that if we do not get this economy to grow, everybody's going to be poor in South Africa, and that is happening already. So forget about job creation, forget about inequality, forget about everything. Get South Africa to grow, put measures in place to create a friendly environment for business, and see if we can do what we can do to attract capital and grow the economy. That's where the emphasis must be. And if we can do that, jobs will look after themselves.
Absolutely.
Poverty will look after themselves. And all those other things will come by itself.
You've raised a few pertinent points, which I want to, sunk my teeth on as soon as we have just dispensed with an ad break. Let's take a break. We'll be back in just a second.
This is Beyond Governance with Dr. Nimrod Mbele on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance. My name is Nomrat Nombele. If you've just joined us, I'm having a thought-provoking and insightful conversation with Davi Root, who is a founder, director, and chief economist of Efficient Group. Our conversation centered around SONA, impending SONA. As we all aware, the president will be addressing the nation on Thursday, and we obviously having a conversation that focuses on what are the critical areas or issues which the president needs to address. Before you took that break, I mean, Davi made reference to three actor groups that needs to collide or perhaps maybe work in harmony, that is government, labor, as well as business. But the reality is that, you know, government appears to be more gravitating towards labor, and obviously business is not too happy, you know, but the reality is that we also have operating in an environment where unemployment is the highest in the world, and something needs to be done drastically about that. Davi's view is that, you know, there's obviously, you know, the structural weaknesses in terms of the outputs. When you look at what universities are pouring out, as well as TVET colleges are pouring out, there's a bit of a mismatch. And the weak skill base doesn't really take us far. We need to strengthen the skill base. I mean, we've got close to 21 seaters, and that is sitting with billions and billions of rands. But that's another conversation. But you know, the point that you raised, which I want you to clarify for me and perhaps maybe other listeners, is you said in this country we don't need job creation, but we need job wealth. Surely the two are not mutually exclusive. We need, first and foremost, create job opportunities, and out of opportunities, then we can have wealth. Could you just clarify your thoughts around the two?
No. In fact, no. Nobody wants to create the job. Now, let me just try to explain what I mean by that. Now, I recently bought a vacuum cleaner for our house. Now, the reason why I bought a vacuum cleaner is because a vacuum cleaner is much more efficient in cleaning the house than somebody sweeping the house. Mm-hmm. So in a way, I've destroyed the job. Mm-hmm. I've destroyed a house sweeping job. To use a very stupid example, one way of creating jobs is by banning cars. Because if you ban cars, you will force everybody to go back on horses, and we start riding horses again, and you're going to create a lot of jobs. Mm. Because you're going to use 25% of your agricultural production just to feed the horses. And then just imagine how many people you need to clean the streets after the horses. So you've created a lot of jobs. That's the point I want to make. Nobody wants to create jobs. We all want to destroy jobs. We want everything, but we do not want to work for that. So, and that is progress. That's a natural progress of a modern economy. We want to do more with less. We don't want to put more labor into stuff. Now, that is why I say the emphasis must be not on job creation, because when you talk about job creation, politicians, they think that if you keep somebody busy, that you have created a job. Now, for example, in South Africa, you get these flag wavers next to the road. That's part of the presidential program of job creation, but they're not adding anything. There's nothing added to the economy, but they're busy, and the president thinks he's created a job. He hasn't created the job. He's keeping people busy. And that's what I mean. Don't put the emphasis on job creation. Put the emphasis on economic growth. In fact, we don't want to create jobs. We want to grow the economy. And the only time you want to employ somebody is because you do not have a choice. You must employ somebody because your economy or your business is growing. But the moment you start employing people because you feel guilty or because the president says so, then you're wasting resources.
You're doing it for the wrong reason.
Economic growth is, yes.
Absolutely. You know, we're going to wrap up in just a minute, but, you know, you, as a parting shot, I mean, earlier on you spoke about Donald Trump, threats about, you know, on the issue of land expropriation. And I'm sure that is going to be a talking point by the president. What are we learning from this particular diplomatic spat, which we need to be worried? Should we be worried at all in the first place?
Yeah, I think we should be worried. Just by the way, I'm very much against this new expropriation legislation that we've signed, but I do believe President Trump is not fully informed. I don't think the ANC is going to start stealing people's property tomorrow morning. I think there are much bigger threats to the South African economy. Law and order, or the lack of law and order, is a much bigger threat to property ownership in South Africa as an ANC, for example. So I think there's a bit of a misunderstanding. But having said that, the expropriation bill is something that I'm certainly not in favor of. So I think what needs to happen here is that President, our political leaders must get into discussion with the Trump administration as soon as possible, try to clear the water as soon as we possibly can, and make it very, very, very clear that South Africa stands for the protection of private property rights. That's one of the requirements. If you want to be part of AGOA, if you want to get the benefits of AGOA, the protection of private property rights is one of those criteria. And clearly Donald Trump is under the impression that we do not fulfill that specific criteria. We've got to change that, because Donald Trump is a very powerful, whether you agree with him or not, that's not the point. He's extremely powerful. He's got a big economy behind him. He's got a US dollar behind him. He's got technology and a military behind him. You do not mess with a guy like that.
I couldn't agree with you more. Hopefully there's something that the president will heed and address as quick as possible. For the biggest losers will be South Africans. When you're referring to AGOA, I mean, automobile industry will suffer greatly. Our wines that we're exporting will suffer greatly, which means more and more South Africans will find themselves out of the job. So it is important to manage, to manage the political spat, so to speak, so that people speak from informed position. There's evidence that the expropriation of land, it's not about just taking land. Unfortunately, like we've seen in Zimbabwe, if it's going to be done, when it's obviously it's going to be done, but it has to be done in a structured and responsible manner, and not to a point where it chases away investment. But anyway, we're going to have to leave it here. It's an absolutely beautiful getting your thoughts once again. So let's hope the State of the Nation address will address some of the issues that you've raised, and so that we become better as South Africans.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much for the invite.
Lovely. That was Davi Root, who is the director as well as director and chief economist of Efficient Group, giving us his insights on what to expect, or some of the issues that the president will be grappling with as he addresses us on Thursday. We all know that SONA is coming, and over and above just the red carpet that we often see, people are dressed up in beautiful outfits. You know, there's fundamental issues of social and economic importance that underlines that. We obviously need to make sure at least the president give you and I a bit of confidence that indeed issues around the economy are being addressed.